Red Grange joined us immediately after his last collegiate game against Ohio State.
Yeah. And you say Shot City.
I'm coming home again.
Quick pitch to Walter, looking for the record, cuts back, he's got it, he's out of it at 25.
The Bears are who we thought they were. And that's why we took the damn field. Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass.
You know, they say that money calling, that money on the phone.
Forget it. Nobody's going to get him. Long gone. Devin Hester, you are ridiculous.
What is going on, everyone, and welcome back to Bears on Tap. You can go ahead and follow us at that handle or follow On Tap Sportsnet for all of your Chicago sports needs. Today we are talking NFL draft, quarterbacks, how the Bears can possibly trade up or maybe sit put at 20. We're going to talk about all different possibilities with the Chicago Bears in this first round of the NFL draft. I'm Lucas Perfetti. You can go ahead and follow me at LucasPerfetti46. And I also have alongside by me, my guy Beat on 300, Brandon Suarez, and that pod guy, Duke Coughlin. And we also have a very special guest in Joseph Herf. If you don't follow him, make sure you do follow him. You follow him at Joseph, H-E-R-F-F-N-F-L. Joe, how we doing, buddy?
I'm good, man. How's things going with you?
I can't complain. Beat on, Duke. How we feeling today?
Back for some more Bears banter. The draft pro days are happening day in and day out. Ohio State and Bama went today. My guys over at Notre Dame go tomorrow. But, yeah, a lot of speculation, some trades, a whole bunch of stuff going on in the NFL right now.
We're definitely going to get into some of those pro days. Dookie boy?
Yeah. Oh, dude, I've been loving every bit of all the overhype of throwing against air. Like, honestly, I don't think there's anything harder in NFL history than throwing against air. But that's just me.
And it happens.
Yeah, man. It's kind of been nice, Lucas. I'm gonna let you let me finish here.
I bet you were done, Duke. No. What a jag off.
Oh no, I just had the pleasure of jumping into some Zach Wilson tape. Honestly, I think I saw more positives than I expected. You know, because I'm kind of the negative Zach Wilson guy. But there's a lot of things I like that I saw out of him. We'll probably end up getting to that at some point. But yeah, man, I'm just enjoying draft coverage. I'm trying to kind of dive into everything that is not Chicago Bears right now because they make me really fucking sad.
Yeah, it's tough. But before you called me a jagoff for interrupting you, I was getting at the fact that every single year, it seems like we're like, hey, man, doesn't really matter what happens at pro days. Doesn't really matter what happens in the combine, but we still put so much stock and so much value into it. Whereas like putting a lot of stock in something like the Senior Bowl might materialize a little bit more. But yeah, big trade with the NFL in general, as B-Don was saying, San Francisco 49ers trade up to the third overall spot. They gave up three firsts and a third, I believe.
I think it was like a third or a fourth. They ended up giving up a pretty significant chunk. And then, two, the other trade is the Dolphins and the Eagles, too.
Yeah.
So the Dolphins were on the receiving end of both of those trades, and they still somehow got back to six.
I said I would do unforgivable things to have the Dolphins front office and coaching staff to swap with the Bears because they pulled off some unbelievable things. When you really look down at like the line, they got, I think, three first round picks and a top 10 pick. One of them is a top 10 pick for Laremy Tunsil
for a gas mask.
I mean, it's really kind of nice what they did. And just to see, like, you know, we talk about Ryan Pace getting fleeced and all that stuff for moving up one spot. Did you see what it took for San Francisco to go from 12 to 3. I mean, they moved up nine spots. To get a top five spot is so difficult. It's kind of insane. But Joey, how are you feeling about the situation?
So it's really hard to tell what San Francisco's doing. I don't know what they're going to go after at this point. They could go after Wilson, Jones, or Fields, whoever falls. Honestly, I've heard a lot of rumors about Jones, and if he goes there, man, that'd just be such a mistake in my opinion. Like, I get the idea of picking a safe quarterback, but why are you going to go with Jones? Like, you have Jimmy Garoppolo under contract still. Like, I just really have no idea what they're going to do. But I like the conviction that they had.
I mean, and that's the thing. They moved up to three. They're going to have to be taking a quarterback, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, and kind of to piggyback off what you were saying, Joe, I do like the conviction. It makes me think that Kyle Shanahan really does have a guy in mind. I think he might have an idea of who's going to go in the top two picks, which is why he kind of wants to sit right there. And I think that's what it's going to come down to. I think San Francisco's at the point that they trust Kyle Shanahan, that regardless of really who they decide to draft, as long as it's somebody that Kyle wants to work with, that somebody that Kyle can bring into his offense and that he truly believes in, they're going to allow him to do that. That's the kind of trust I think they have with the head coach out there. He's earned that respect. Yeah, exactly. And
he's going to maximize whoever he picks, no matter who it is. Whoever goes in that third spot is going to have a very good shot, especially because, I mean, the team was a Super Bowl contender 2 years prior.
Yeah, and that's kind of the point I was trying to make. I mean, I think they're looking at it right now that Kyle did this with Jimmy Garoppolo, who probably didn't end up panning out and being as talented as I think they originally thought he was. So they're going to look at this as a situation that they're going to give him his guy to actually legitimately use and go get, you know, and I think they really trust that.
Yeah. And I will say real quick, shout out to you guys for hopping on that Zoom on Friday or whatever day of the week it was for 3 hours, because they absolutely took our mock draft, ripped it up, threw it in the trash, and then set the trash on fire, because we went back to square one. But my article and Duke's article have already been released, and then tomorrow we'll have our third overall pick be released on the website. So be on the lookout for those. They'll be coming out daily.
Yep, definitely go check it out in our Bears on Tap portion of ontapsportsnet.com.
We actually got our own NFL tab now.
We have our own NFL?
Oh. Yeah, it'll be in the NFL tab, yeah.
So it's just, yep.
Wow. I was a big advocate for that, because I got a lot of Notre Dame draft articles coming up, and I was shooting more for draft coverage, but just general NFL news, which will be good for the site now. So
yeah, absolutely. And the one thing, we're seeing a lot of rumors and links to Mac Jones. And I just kind of want to get your guys' thought on that, because I've also seen a lot of his, you know, second pro day floated deep balls and just kind of mashed up right next to that Jimmy G Super Bowl throw. And I've been out on Mac Jones this whole time, and we could talk about the other four guys. Like we're probably going to shuffle them and how we would rank them. But for me, Mac Jones never did it for me. And before, I almost thought like, hey, if he falls to 20, I'd be cool with it. But at this point, it almost seems like it would be a wasted pick because of the needs we have in other spots. You know what I mean? Like I think I trust Andy Dalton more than Mac Jones, if that sounds insane.
Yeah. So like Mac Jones, like I like him a lot. Like you guys have seen it all, and people on Twitter and my articles, you guys have seen it. Like I like Mac Jones a lot, but that is way too rich for my liking. Like if you're getting him in the top 15 to me, Mac Jones is not worth a trade up in my opinion. He's comparable to me to Kyle Trask and to like guys you can find later. Like he's got a safe floor, sure, but that ceiling is just not promising. Like my ceiling to him is Kirk Cousins. And if you're just getting a Kirk Cousins type guy that doesn't take you to a championship, why risk a top 15 pick on him? I could kind of like get away with getting him at 20 or getting or trading up like two spots to get him to 18 to jump Washington. But it's just, yeah, I don't see it. I like him a lot. I like his accuracy. I like his decision-making. He reads the field well. He scans well. And he's got a nice deep ball despite the videos we saw today. Again, throwing against air, I don't really take much into that. But, yeah, it's way too rich for my liking in the top 15.
Yeah, I'm kind of on board with that too. I'm a guy who actually kind of likes Mac Jones too. He's somebody that I saw coming to Chicago potentially with a later pick, but really anything higher than 15, in my opinion, is just really overdrafting this kid. You know, like you were saying, Joe, he has a really high floor, but the ceiling is, you know, questionable, honestly, at best. I think maybe he could break that ceiling potentially depending where he goes. I don't think he's a day one starter. I don't think he should be treated as a day one starter. But what I will give him credit for, and I kind of heard him talk a little bit the other day, is he's somebody who's open. He's somebody who's open to really come into any situation, come into any offense and learn. You know, he doesn't seem like a guy that's gung-ho on like, this is who I am, this is what I'm expected to play as, you know, this is the offense I'm expected to play in. He seems like a guy who's really open. You know, he was talking about how he likes to play the pro style like he did at Alabama, doing bubble screens and throwing deep shots down the field, but he's also a guy that can do the zone read. You know, he's a guy that can mix it up. And I think that ability I think with his preparation and maybe his smarts, I think maybe that's what Kyle Shanahan might see in him. But still, you know, I'm on board with you, Joe. I still think it is way too high to be drafting him there.
I mean, and we're talking about Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins got drafted in the fourth round the same year as RG3. Like, I don't – that's kind of where – I guess I have a more of a general question, because you three are much more advanced when it comes to the NFL draft. You know, is this – class of, and I know we talked about it in our draft Zoom, but I want our audience to hear it. You know, there's only been one draft where I believe five quarterbacks have gone in the top 15 or top 20. Otherwise, there's never been four quarterbacks go in the top 10. You know what I mean? Like, it's just when it comes to numbers and drafting and the amount of starting quarterbacks, capable starting quarterbacks that are in the league right now, I feel like we're kind of at a surplus in comparison to 10 years ago. Like, what is making everyone so confident that this many quarterbacks are getting drafted in the top 20, top 30? You know what I mean? Like, Lamar was the fifth quarterback off the board, but he was at 32. You know, I just want to get your guys' input on it.
So I actually saw a graphic earlier, and it was the five quarterbacks from this year that are projected first rounders and the five from the Josh Rosen year. And why I say Josh Rosen is because the graphic was asking who will be the Josh Rosen. Ugh. And honestly, I think it's McCorkle. I think it's Mr. McChicken. I think it's Mr. 2 for 3. Because when we did our Zoom draft the other day, we got to the last pick, and now that the draft is completely out the window, we almost didn't even have him coming off the board in the first round. And I know there's a bunch of guys that talking to a microphone, do a podcast, but I feel like, similar to what Joe said, it's just like, to trade up and get him at 3, why? I understand the need for a quarterback, and I understand this is a very quarterback-friendly league right now where teams are doing all sorts of things to make sure that they can get their quote-unquote guy. But you're paying Jimmy Garoppolo a hell of a lot of money, and you're going to trade up into the top 3 to get, like Joe and Duke both said, someone who can probably get the job done, but the ceiling is not as high as some of the other guys.
I mean, if you're going with, and we're going to get to you in one sec, Joe, but if you're going with someone at 3 and you already have Jimmy G, my thought process is you got to go with someone with a high ceiling, like a Lance, someone that maybe has a little bit more uncovered that you can mold into your offense and make him what you want to be. But go ahead, Joe.
Sure. So, like, yeah, Mac Jones, like you guys said, 3rd overall, not a fan at all. I don't get it either. But yeah, I could see him, like you guys were saying, the Josh Rosen type. He definitely fits that mold, in my opinion, too. Like, he does, like, same thing with Rosen. He just had a lot of, like, physical qualities that people liked. Just, like, he was tall, and he had a strong arm, and he didn't really have a lot of athleticism going for him, which, same thing as Mac Jones. Whereas the other four quarterbacks are both fairly athletic. Like, Trevor Lawrence, he's no slouch when it comes to athleticism. He has very underrated athleticism. Lance, obviously, with the 1,100 rushing yards in a season, that's incredible. Fields, he just ran a 4.44. And Zach Wilson, he had, like, I believe he had 8 rushing touchdowns. Like, these guys are all athletes. Like, if they can't get it done throwing the ball, they're going to scramble. And Mac Jones, he's just, yeah, Kirk Cousins, if that's your ceiling, dude, that's not something that's promising, in my opinion.
And that's like, Mac Jones is also, in my opinion, that the lowest level of athletic you need to be a quarterback in the NFL right now. You know what I mean? He's that entry level, and I kind of describe it as like that Derek Carr. Like, can he get you a first down on 3rd and 7?
He looks like us without his shirt on, bro.
Listen, so did Tom Brady. And as someone who really is down to draft people on bicep size, like, I will say at the quarterback position, I'm not nearly as worried about that kind of stuff, but it's just, I kind of call it the Derek Carr factor, and I know Duke's not going to like this, but it's just, can he, like, to be a quarterback in the NFL right now, you need to be able to pick up a first down on 3rd and 10 with your legs. Like, it's just that simple. If the whole defense turns their back and runs with your receivers, you have to be able to pick it up with your legs. And I'm not going to even say Patrick Mahomes is athletic, but he does, you know what I mean? He recognizes situations, and he has enough wheels and enough gas in the tank to pick up those 20, 30 yard fucking scrambles we see when everyone's just booking. Go ahead, Duke.
So Derek Carr had a faster 40 time than Patrick Mahomes. So I'm really happy you brought that up. You ran a 4.6 5.40. I totally get what you're saying, but to kind of just go back and answer your original question about why quarterbacks, I think, are as hyped up in this draft as they are, is it's kind of just rolling with the times. I think with the COVID season, it kind of opened up a lot of opportunities for a lot of players to kind of be spotlighted, because people legitimately didn't really have a whole lot else to watch. And draft coverage was kind of, you know, through the roof this year with a lot of these players. And I think it goes to show that GMs are starting to buy the hype of the rookie quarterback starting day one, because you look at guys like Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes and Joe Burrow and Kyler Murray, guys that kind of got thrown into it a little bit. Obviously Mahomes a little bit different, but even second year, day one, he had to replace Alex Smith, who just had nearly an MVP season. So that's kind of looked at as being thrown to the fire. I think people are looking at college quarterbacks as more NFL ready these days, you know, whereas where you drafted a first quarterback in the first round, either you're tossing them out there and not expecting much your entire first season. You're essentially punting your first season, kind of similar to how the Colts did when they drafted Peyton Manning, or they're sitting like an Aaron Rodgers, you know, at who was honestly looked pretty NFL ready when he was coming out of the draft. As brutal as that is to say out loud, but they had him sit. You know, that was a guy that the Packers saw and they wanted to stash, and that's not really a normal thing anymore. That's why them doing the Jordan Love move in today's kind of scope is insanity, because people don't draft quarterbacks in the first round to have them sit anymore. They expect them to start. And while I do think there's a point, Lucas, when you said there is a lot more starter quality quarterbacks in the league these days who aren't starting, I will definitely go on board with that. But I think the potential upside and the potential readiness of how GMs feel about all these quarterbacks really plays into why they're all as valued as much as they are today.
Yeah, if you pick a franchise quarterback, it's at least giving you an additional 5 years of security. So I understand that entirely. And to be fair, I think it's kind of a two-pronged thing. You know, someone like Aaron Rodgers, he had no business falling to 24. He could have easily gone number one overall. So let's just be real. Like, very rare situation to have a Hall of Fame quarterback and then also have a possible number one pick fall to 24. Like, that's absurd. Whereas the Packers traded up for Jordan Love, which was obnoxious. But I think the other thing is too, that we're seeing a lot more head coaches with college influence. You know what I mean? You're not expected to come in and learn how to play pro style and go from being predominantly in the shotgun to, hey, now you have to fucking go under center and blah, blah, blah. There's so many more college concepts being introduced to the NFL currently that I think that's also kind of why the adjustment period is going quicker. But I can agree with you on that, dude. Go ahead, Joe.
So, yeah. So again, I forgot to touch on the five quarterbacks going early thing, but I think we're starting to see a shift this year, as you were saying with COVID, or I think B-Dom was saying with COVID. We're starting to see a shift now of less running backs going early now. Running backs are starting to fall, even though they're extremely talented. Like, not Najee Harris, he is unbelievable. Like, he has literally like Leonard Fournette-type talent that he could go top 10 in this draft maybe 5 years ago. But now we're starting to see the shift where he could go into the second round. And we saw Jonathan Taylor last year go in the second round. Like, that's just unbelievable to me that we see this kind of talent falling. But we're starting to see the shift now that running backs are starting to matter less, and people are starting to see that offense built through a quarterback is starting to mean a lot more. And it's obvious when it comes to the playoffs. We saw Tom Brady just win a Super Bowl, and he's the reason they've been winning Super Bowls, obviously, now with the Patriots. Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, Josh Allen, we saw all these guys lead their teams, and it was through the quarterback. And obviously there's other talent around them, like Josh Allen had Stephon Diggs. Josh Allen had a great line. Aaron Rodgers has Devonta Adams. But it all comes down to that quarterback. And so I think teams are now starting to reach for those quarterbacks to try and take those multiple shots at quarterback to try and get their guy.
Yeah, I mean, and you can assemble a team that will compete for a Super Bowl once every 20 years like the Bears do, or you can have a quarterback that gives you that chance every single year. So I totally understand, you know, the demand for quarterbacks. And you even go back 20 years ago, Joe, fucking three or four of the top 10 picks would be running backs. Now it's like, that's unheard of. Saquon Barkley was strange for him. And he was one of the best prospects as a running back to come out in I don't know how long. Go ahead, B-Don.
Yeah, honestly, the Najee Harris comparison, I think compared him to like a smaller version of Derrick Henry. Like, he hurdles people, he stiff arms people, he can get to the second and third level very fast. And then, you know, like any other running back, he gets to the hash, gets to the sideline, and you're looking at the back of his jersey and his dread swinging. It's nuts. And back to the quarterback thing, you know, Lucas, I know you're a big analytics guy, and this is something you've drove home for like the last two drafts or as long as I've known you, is the five quarterbacks going in the one round. And similar to what everyone else has said, it's just teams are desperate as hell right now for quarterbacks. And we're going to find out here in the next month if they're as desperate as everyone is anticipating. But we, like you said, we could see five quarterbacks go in the top 10, top 15.
Oh, one little nitbit I kind of wanted to toss in here too that just kind of clicked to me when Brandon was talking. A lot of it could have to do with quarterback contracts. Having that control for a couple years could really factor into it, because everyone kind of has this idea that once they pay their quarterback, that's kind of when the window really starts kind of moving the wrong way.
Well, and it's true, you know, agents keep fighting for more and more. You got certain quarterbacks are making close to a quarter of the salary cap, and you got to try to fill in the rest with, you know, rookie contracts and stuff like that. So they do need to, and that's the thing too, if you strike and you get that type of quarterback, he needs to be able to elevate every single person around him. Otherwise you kind of have to wonder, like, is he worth paying? You know, like, I think there's going to be a little bit of a discussion when it comes to paying Lamar Jackson because of his certain limitations. And the Ravens did a lot to adjust to Lamar Jackson. I think he's an electric talent, no doubt, but there are some deficiencies in his game. You know, he was an MVP.
Shout out Coach Hammack for helping with that offense. Our guy.
You don't even want me to say, I won't say it. No, but I just think it's kind of profound what's happening with the league. I think it's awesome as well. But, you know, the Seahawks were kind of at the forefront, or at least became the most recognized for that whole get a quarterback on the rookie window, build a fucking super team, go to 2 out of 4 Super Bowl type things. You know, not a lot of teams are equipped, I guess. You know, it's just there's really, you hear it all the time too, there's really only 6 teams that are competing for a Super Bowl every single year. I don't know what those 6 teams are. I can tell you one's probably the Steelers, one's the Ravens, one's the Patriots, one's the Packers. I could tell you for sure that the Bears aren't fucking one of them, but I just, you know, at some point you really have to wonder, when's this quarterback frenzy going to end? Cause someone's going to end up passing a guy like, I don't know, a top player in the draft and get a guy like Josh Rosen. So at some point it's going to have to cool down, don't you think?
Yeah, it will. And honestly, the one point that I was going to bring up next is, if you look at the teams that have followed this model over the last 5 or so seasons, you have Jared Goff and the Rams, you have the Bears with Mitch, you have Patrick Mahomes with the Chiefs, and they were able to succeed in doing it. The issue lies in the personnel that you have around your guy. And if you bring your guy into chicken shit and he can't make chicken soup out of it, then you're going to be shit out of luck. And then your quarterback, and, you know, it's going to be similar to the situation that we had with Mitch, where, your fan base is split. Some people think he's the worst guy to ever touch the field, but he never really got the true opportunity that you get when you come to the NFL.
And that's so funny you say that, because, you know, my guy Joe over here and Duke are going to tell me, scout the player, not the helmet. But that is something that just kind of was naturally birthed here. Let's get into Mac Jones. Obviously we talked about him in Alabama, but Justin Fields is another hot topic. And I almost feel like Fields is kind of getting that Cam Newton effect, you know, towards the end of the draft process, like throughout the entire year, Cam Newton was seen as the guy. He's the number one pick. He's an absolute monster. Like, he's killing it. And then towards the draft, like coming up, it seemed like teams were trying to knock him down, maybe to scare the Panthers from taking him, something like that. You know what I mean? But I feel like we're almost getting that same effect with Fields right now, because he is a high, he's a well-touted prospect. And I don't know if it's the OSU thing that's coming into play, but he's starting to seem to drop in draft boards.
Yeah. So I don't understand really either why he's dropping. Cause I have read a lot analytics stats wise. I know we don't like PFF here. I know none of you guys do. I don't really either. But they do track air yards, and air yards is a really good thing to track when it comes to quarterbacks, because if your quarterback's checking it down all the time, you don't really want that, which surprisingly, I'm 90% positive that Justin Fields had the highest air yards percentage out of any of the quarterbacks in the draft. So he had like a 70% air yards, meaning that his wide receivers didn't really run after the catch much. And to be honest, if you're looking at the talent surrounding Justin Fields, he really had arguably the least amount of talent of any of those quarterbacks. Like, obviously, Trey Lance is an FCS, and he doesn't have that much talent, but NDSU is a powerhouse every single year. I know from experience with my experience at Illinois State, I got to see NDSU first person, and they just weren't fair. It was like they were an FBS team playing FCS teams, and they just mauled everybody with their incredible offensive line, incredible running game. And Lance had the easiest job in the world. Like, he perfected it. He did it perfect, didn't throw a single interception. But every other team has that talent, just like Lance, just like Wilson. He has a great offensive line. That dude could take a nap if he wanted to in his pocket, wake up and still make the throw because he had all the time in the world. And Trevor Lawrence, Clemson, they were loaded. Even when they lost, like, their receiving core, Cornell Powell came into the scene this year, and he was an absolute freak of nature. And Amari Rodgers is an absolute burner of a wide receiver. And that line's good. They have Jackson Carman at left tackle. Like, each of these teams have loaded offenses. Like, Ohio State has Chris Olave, I think is how you say his last name, or Olive. But he's solid. He had a second-round grade coming in. He had two interior offensive linemen that were good, but what else? A seventh-round tight end? Like, dude, they had nothing to work with compared to these guys.
Yeah, and I think one of the important things that comes to Fields, and I've honestly been one of those, like, typical people to look at an Ohio State quarterback and think that they weren't going to be any good in the league. But I think Justin Fields is really going to be the one to possibly test that because, you know, kind of like you said, he's been working with a lot of questionable pieces on offense. And on top of all that, he kind of had to deal with the entire situation of Urban Meyer leaving Ohio State kind of in the middle of his career. And yet here he was all season still making incredible passes. In fact, on my screen right now, I'm looking at some of the throws from his pro day thrown at air, and I'm getting impressed. I'm not going to lie. But yeah, you know, it's, I agree with you 100%. Plus, I don't think the Big Ten gets enough credit for how good they usually are on a year-to-year basis, especially Indiana, who just kind of popped out of nowhere too. And you have to
really understand, good defense in the Big Ten.
Yeah, oh yeah, and Wisconsin's usually hovering right there in the top 10 too, you know, not trying to pat my team on the back or anything. But yeah, and that was a team that didn't even have a full season. You know, there was a lot of games, there was a lot of teams in the Big Ten who didn't play full seasons, and that also kind of was a little bit of a detriment towards his draft grade, I think, with his lack of film against some of these teams. But Justin Fields, I've seen plenty of him playing in the Big Ten. I'm really impressed by his arm. I'm really impressed by his athleticism. He kind of reminds me of Kyler Murray in the Big Ten. You know what I mean? I think he has that type of talent. I think he has that type of game changer. And I think he's a guy who could potentially start day one.
Yeah, I don't know, guys, if I'm evolving or what the deal is, because, like, listen, I can agree with everything that was said. You know, you want kind of someone that can make chicken salad out of chicken shit, as Bedon said. And that's something that's kind of proven to be true with some of these quarterbacks coming out of obscure schools like Wyoming. And you know what I mean? It's just like, they don't have much to work with, but they still made it work, you know? And it is kind of a knock to come from a big time school with big time talent and stuff like that. Even though, I mean, Ohio State always has a ridiculous running game. Let's be real here. So there is some pressure taken off the quarterback in that aspect. But it's also, I agree with Duke and Joe here in saying, like, me and Joe just got in this exchange on Twitter. Like, Fields is an OSU product, but he's also probably the best OSU prospect to come out at quarterback in, you know, the last 20 years, realistically. I think he made some really fucking big time throws, especially against Clemson in that playoff game. A lot of them were pushed outside the numbers and stuff like that too, right on the fucking money. So he balled out, and I don't want to take anything away from him, but there's just something about, like, you know, I can also say I don't think scouting a helmet is that bad. Like, how many times are you going to be disappointed with taking a running back from Alabama? You know what I mean? How many times are you going to be disappointed with taking a safety from Alabama? Like, more times than not, there are certain things. LSU is DBU. A lot of good corners come out of it. Like, so there are certain things in that aspect. But I think Lance, to put it well, like Duke did, he's going to test that theory. I don't think Mac Jones is going to test it the way I think Fields is going to test that theory. I don't think Mac Jones will test it the way that Fields does.
Yeah, personally, I mean, I know me and you have talked about Fields, and we've talked about him in the mock draft call. And honestly, I feel like for some of the points that you guys have made, Joe, specifically the air yards thing, you know, the air yards, he's throwing deep balls on the money. And on top of the fact that, yeah, he doesn't have the same level of talent as some of these other guys do, he makes it work. And on top of that, he can run. The guy is an athlete. He ran a 4.44 or 4.46 today on the 40-yard dash. And he has that speed in game. It's not just, you know, in the shorts and in the outfit, we're going to run fast. He has game speed, and he can make you pay on just a simple broken rollout. Like, he can definitely make you pay and hit you for a deep ball, or he can run it. So I feel like Fields could drop a little bit. He doesn't have the best size. He's a little bit of a smaller prospect. And honestly, he wouldn't even be in this position if he stayed at Georgia, because they wouldn't have tested his arm like they did at Ohio State. So it's a good thing for him that he transferred to Ohio State, because at Georgia, he would have been putting in DeAndre Swift's gut and whoever was running the rock for them this past season.
Yeah, I hate the transfer argument. That's probably my least favorite fucking argument for quarterbacks. You know, oh, if he was good enough, why didn't he just win the job? Like, in college? Like, well, maybe he fucking developed a little bit later. Maybe he – go ahead, Duke.
You want to know what completely kills that argument, and it just happened last year, is actually a fellow – and Ohio State fans try to claim him all the time, and I try to call him on it, but Joe Burrow, he transferred to Ohio State because they didn't want to give him a look. Sure enough, wins the Heisman and looking like he's going to be a pretty damn good NFL quarterback.
Yeah, and to think, like, I mean, we see a complete jag off of a head coach every single Sunday in Bears season. To think that those don't exist in fucking college is insane to me. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, like you're saying, Nagy is just a jag, and we see it in college all the time. Yeah, like, it's just I'm really glad for Fields that he did transfer, like you guys were saying. Like, it was the best for him. Like, obviously, he didn't get, like, the weapons that Fromm had when Fromm was in Georgia, when Fromm had like Riley Ridley, Javon Wims, and he had those guys all coming out, and Fromm ended up not even being a good draft pick because of it. Like, he was supposed to be great as like a second round draft pick. People were comparing to Tom Brady. I actually got in an argument with a dude on Twitter who was telling me that he was the next Tom Brady, and he was like, he was actually fighting people on it, and he was getting angry, and all the guys that I used to work with will all laugh at it because it was the funniest thing that we had. But it ended up falling, and it might have been, yes, because of his – I don't know if the racist text came out before or after, but that might have been why he fell too. But he did fall, and now he's losing his job to Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah, I mean, aside from his insanity on fucking – he said some crazy shit on Instagram or whatever. Aside from that, he wasn't a good prospect either. Like, he wasn't second-round prospect in my eyes as well.
Yeah, that arm he had was a joke. Like, nothing – like, obviously, he's an NFL quarterback. He's a good college quarterback, but he had the weakest arm. And I don't know how anybody could see him as a second round great quarterback. Like, he couldn't even hit the sidelines. Like, it's like watching Sam Ellinger play.
You know, I was just fucking waiting for it. I was just waiting for it.
Oh, man. Yes.
I don't know.
If we're going to jump to the bicep argument with Lucas, I mean, we got to give Eldrick some credit because the guy's got guns.
I'll take him in the seventh round.
I would take Sam Ellinger in seventh round in a heartbeat. But then again, I'm quarterback starved as a Chicago Bears fan, so I would literally take anything at this point that has any sort of upside. I mean, fuck, me and Lucas were talking about possibly taking Josh Rosen, and we would be happy with it.
Anyone that we know is going to be better or have a chance to be better than the 2020 Andy Dalton, because it was – horseshit. And I'm actually getting sick and tired of these people pulling stats from 2016, Andy Dalton and blah, blah, blah on tape. Listen, dude, 2020 was the last year he played. It was not 2016. He didn't fucking get a fountain of youth. He's not Tom Brady. He's not going back in time. Like, this is insane at this point. And yes, anyone with any sort of upside, we had a fucking hour long episode about it. Any type of upside at this point would make me happy.
So first, I can probably name about four quarterbacks I'd rather take in the seventh round over Sam Ellinger. I just want to say that first because I just can't stand the dude. Second, I'd probably take Ian Book over him for sure.
Beat on I would SAU. Take Ian Book over Sam Ellinger as well, but that's
that dude's just a winner, dude.
Yeah, I was saying, at least he wins football games.
You just got
exactly
beat on so exactly. Horny.
But no, so back to the whole Andy Dalton thing. So yes, I hate that people bring up his 2020 stats because yes, they are comparable to Mitch. But you don't see the full picture when you pull up the stats. Like, you got to really get into his tape. And personally, I've not gotten to his full tape yet. I've just seen just from what I saw last season. And I'm not really going to get into his tape until after the draft, because obviously I'm doing draft tape right now. Don't want to mix it all up. I want to get into that later. But from what I saw last year and from the little I saw, you guys have all heard it. But I don't mind Andy Dalton. Like, of course, there were better options. But he, in my opinion, was the best option that was available to us. And that is horrible. It's horrible to think that. Like, there really is nothing else that we could get better than Andy Dalton. But I do like him as a bridge quarterback. He is a better bridge quarterback than Nick Foles. He can actually run more than 2 miles an hour when he tries to leave the pocket. I think he will have a better offensive line in Chicago.
Like Minshew or someone like
Darnold. He has to give draft capital for Minshew and Darnold. And Minshew is – the same thing with Minshew and Darnold. They're streaky. Like, at least Darnold gives us like a consistent dude that can read the pre-snap coverages perfectly. The dude has been in the NFL for how long now? Probably 10 years at least. I'm not sure exactly. And he knows NFL defenses. He knows how to read a defense. He knows how to make pre-snap coverages and pre-snap reads, and he'll probably make audibles, which means Nat Nagy isn't calling plays, and we love that.
I'm not buying into it, Joe. You can't. There's nothing you can say.
No, 100%.
Because you know what, dude? Because we got sold the same fucking shit, and I get it. Like, I'm trying to be optimistic as well. Like, and I will find a way to get up for Andy Dalton. I've talked about it. I'll find a way. But, I mean, like, we were sold the same fucking load of shit that was told about Nick Foles. He knows the offense. He could run a system. He could make pre-snap reads, blah, 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 blah. You know what I mean? It's just like, at some point, we're talking about all these other teams in NFL and the NFL draft evolving and, you know, possibly the first time ever five quarterbacks to go in the top 10, like all this stuff. And we're settling for Andy Dalton. You know what I mean? And it just, that's the part that bothers me. And I understand, like, me as a logical GM thinking person, possibly maybe that just got an extension. But I understand the idea of Andy Dalton. Don't give up too much draft capital. Don't shoot yourself in the foot for the future. Have some form of a starting option if things don't go well in the draft. Like, I get that aspect of it, but I'm sorry. Just at this point, like, that can't be the best that this regime does, you know?
Yeah, no, I definitely get that. Actually, take a beat on.
Yeah, and I was going to say, too, you got to look at the weapons. We talked about it last week that Andy Dalton had in place last year and still couldn't do much with. He's not getting a better set of weapons here in Chicago. I mean, call a spade. It's not going to be, you know, a pretty situation. We talked about it last week where we think they're going to be running the ball a lot more, and I honestly don't mind it. I saw a video of David Montgomery today.
That video is sick.
Looked very good in and out of his cuts. And, like, honestly, I am so excited. I'm going to be our Andy Dalton guy. I'm going to take the bullets this year. No bulletproof vest. Because you guys and my roommate Ethan made me a Mitch guy. I'm going to be the resident Red Rocket guy. And I am here for all the bullets. Andy's our guy. Be nice to Andy. And his wife is a smoke.
So I'm with you on Andy Dalton. I'll take it. I'll take all the heat, too, with Andy Dalton. I was iffy on Nick Foles. I like the idea of him. But Andy Dalton, I'm completely with. If we run the ball, David Montgomery, watching that dude cut on the field is literally, like, literally porn. It's beautiful. It is amazing to watch that dude get in and out of his cuts so quickly. So if we're giving him the ball 20 times a game plus, I will absolutely just love that.
Well, yeah, that's going to be the big thing, though, is if we actually decide to run the football. You know, that still has to be something that's going to be proven to me before I'm really buying into that end of it. But, you know, I mean, me and you had a wonderful conversation about Andy Dalton and Nick Foles. You know, it was it got a little heated, but I mean, I love that shit. My biggest problem, and I'm sure I brought it up, was just I didn't feel like this was like enough of an upgrade. You know what I mean? Like, it just felt like, it felt like the second the Russell Wilson trade rumors like got shot down, that was an immediate, like, we need to sign this guy so we end up with somebody. I really wish a guy like Ryan Pace, even if we didn't end up signing him, I wish we would have brought in a guy like James Winston. Like, dude, tell him, you know, straight up call his agent, be like, listen, I'm sure you want to go back to New Orleans. Please, for the love of God, get your client on a plane at least for this one meeting, and we'll see if we can try to sway him to be the starting quarterback of the Chicago Bears. You know, it just something like that. It just didn't seem like there was any sort of effort of bringing quarterbacks in, of showing interest in really many other quarterbacks. And that's kind of the thing that gets me, man. It just felt like Andy Dalton was like this safe option because he knew Bill Lazor's offense. It was somebody that we brought in because we kind of punted on the Russell Wilson deal, whatever happened there. And I don't know, it just didn't seem like we did our due diligence. And I feel like in the situation right now, when you're looking for your starting quarterback, you should really dig. Like, you should dig and see what is out there. Like, and that's probably just the biggest thing that bothers me about it.
Yeah, and that's where I'm willing to agree with Joe, because I think what's the most bothersome about the whole situation is the fact that the relationship with Mitch had to get tainted, because we did take a downgrade at starting quarterback. I don't care.
Still no thank you post.
No, but we took a downgrade, and the only reason why is because they didn't do their due diligence. Maybe they thought they had a chance to trade up into the top 10. Maybe they still have something brewing. I'm not really sure, but with the circumstances, yeah, when you really look at the free agents left after Fitzpatrick was gone, who the fuck else was out there? Yeah, so, Andy Dalton was for sure the best option, and definitely a better option than Foles. You know, I mean, I've even said we should have just rolled with Foles at that point. But when you really look at it, Andy Dalton started for, what, 9 years, 8 years? He had some good years underneath his belt, but he also really worked well when everything was going well, when he had an all-pro offensive line, when he had A.J. Green, Tyler Boyd, and Mohamed Sanu when he was still a fucking junior. You know, like, he had players and playmakers around him to do things. And I think that's what bothers me the most about it. But before we get into it, because we're gonna go along Bedon's line of thinking here for this next part after our ad read. We are going to say the Red Rocket is our guy, and now let's build around him with this 20th pick. Okay. But first, we're going to get you a ad read from our sponsors at Manscaped. Spring's coming. 77 degrees today, boys. I'll tell you right now, at some point, you're going to need to let those bad boys out to breathe. You're going to have to shave at some point. And Manscaped absolutely has you covered. You can get ball toner, ball deodorant, anything you need to freshen you up. The skin-safe technology with the Lawnmower 3.0 is absolutely phenomenal. You could not cut yourself even if you fucking wanted to. Like, I'm telling you, it's impossible to cut yourself. We've talked about their gift pack. They have great briefs, really super soft cotton t-shirts. I mean, the list goes on and on when it comes to Manscaped. So if you want to go ahead and get your Manscaped products, get 20% off and free shipping with the code ONTAP, no spaces, at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with the free shipping at manscaped.com. Use the code ONTAP. It's 2021 and you still got Bush? Come on, change that with Manscaped. All right, we're back. We're back. Andy Dalton's our guy. Who we taking at 20? Let's start with you, Joe.
Okay, so if Andy Dalton's our guy, my prediction is either the Bears are going to trade up for their quarterback, because if they do, and Andy Dalton sucks, Ryan Pace now has the excuse, oh, we have our guy now, give us more time. We're going to have more time now. So I feel like that actually would save their jobs. But if right now I'm the GM and I'm controlling the Bears, I'm trading back from 20, I'm trading in the 24 to 28 range, and I'm waiting until Tevin Jenkins falls into my lap, because that dude is an absolute mauler of a right tackle. And that dude will be unbelievable. And I absolutely am in love with him, especially if you're keeping Leno at left tackle. That Jenkins is just that dude's mean. Like, you watch him play, and that's one of the traits I love in offensive linemen personally. If you got a mean and nasty lineman, he's not afraid to hit. He's not afraid to go block anybody. He'll go block Khalil Mack and not care. Like, yeah, I love animals like that.
For sure. And we don't have that enforcer on our line. We've been missing that enforcer on our line since Kyle Long has really been dealing with injuries. Like, I don't hate that at all. But would he be able to transition to left tackle if something were to happen?
A lot of people don't believe so. I think he can. I think he has it in his abilities. I think he can eventually learn and develop to become a left tackle. If the Bears are looking for a guy who's a guaranteed left or right tackle later to trade back and grab, I'm kind of leaning into Samuel Cosmi. I know a lot, I've been iffy on him lately, but he scored a perfect relative athletic score, RAS score, and that's only been done one other time, I believe, and I think, I can't remember who it was, but I think it's the Browns offensive tackle that they signed. I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but that he was perfect, 10.0 score out of 10, and he's an absolute animal, and he has 3 years of starting experience at Texas, and I know Duke probably loves him. He went to Texas, and he has that connection with the new Bears offensive assistant, Coach Herman. So I would be all for that too. I'm good with either of them coming later. It's just Jenkins would be a better plug and play, in my opinion, this year at least.
That's a great little tinfoil hat theory too, because I have heard some rumors about this offensive tackle and the connection between the coach and possibility. You know, people talk about Sam Ehlinger or whatever, and possibly being a late round pick, but I've heard more so about this offensive tackle. So that's funny you say that. But what's the sexy stat you just said to me? Because I've never fucking heard of that. You said he got a perfect score, and what?
Yeah, I was like Googling it over here. I was
relative athletic score. I'm sure all of our listeners don't know. What does that measure?
Sure. So the relative athletic score is basically a score where they take all your pro day and combine numbers, and they basically a score. I don't know how the algorithm works at all, but they score you out of 10, and they've been doing it since 1987. They've been scoring every position. So obviously this year's numbers are going to be a little skewed because pro day numbers instead of official combine numbers. But the fact that he's getting close to an elite percentile of 9 to 10 in general is just unbelievable. So they take your every single measurement that you do. They take your 40 time, your three cone. They take your 10-yard split of your 40 time. They take everything, and they use that to get the score. And it normally translates. I don't know how perfect it is. I haven't done any research myself. But it basically just tells you how athletic you are, essentially.
All right, and I'm down.
Another guy like that, a high one, is Quinn Meinerz. Yeah, it's a great. I haven't seen much of it until this year. I've seen it like here and there, but I've been seeing it a lot this year, and I'm all for it. I love it.
Say, it kind of sounds similar to Nike Spark system. I don't know if you guys ever heard of that.
Yes, it is. It is similar. I don't know how the Spark scores their numbers at all, but I do love the RAS a lot.
Yeah, that sounds really similar, kind of. But like a pro style compared to Spark is kind of like the high school athlete coming into college. So that's kind of what that sounds like, but that is a really good, good kind of statue to use. I guess I'll just take over considering, you know, we're answering questions here anyway. If Andy Dalton is bought in, like if we're bought in, Andy Dalton's going to be the starter next year. And let's say we're not going towards the quarterback. You know what I mean? Like, that's not what we're going to do. We're not going to trade. We're going to sit at 20. If one of the top five quarterback falls to us, that's another thing. But if I'm sticking right there, I do like the idea of Sam Cosmi, but I would like a trade back to the second round if that's what we're going to do, because I think Cosmi will fall out of the first round, especially with some of the offensive lineman depth that we have in this draft. I really like a guy like Alex Leatherwood, 6'6", 322. You know, big hands on that dude as well. Obviously, playing at Alabama, you're facing some of the best pass rushers in the nation on a week-to-week basis. I wouldn't mind even taking a look at a guy like Rashawn Slater. I know he's kind of slated as like a center guard type player, but I think he could honestly play any spot on the offensive lineman, the guy out of Northwestern. And obviously, I think Darisaw is probably like one of the safest offensive line picks in this draft. I think I found people who love him, I find people who hate him, but I think he's like has the most potential to be like that solid tackle. You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't necessarily have like insane star potential, but he has a really high floor, and that's kind of what you want in an offensive lineman, because honestly, boom or bust offensive linemen almost always end up busting unless they're an absolute stud. So yeah, I'm really on board with offensive line if that's what we decide to do. And then that kind of sets us up for going after a quarterback next year, or possibly going at a quarterback later in this draft, like a Kellen Mond.
And we may or may not have already seen a boomer bust left tackle in Chicago.
So yeah,
may or may not have. Just so saying.
Yeah. I, you know, you guys both went offensive linemen, so I'll go more the skill position route. But obviously, you guys want me to say someone from Notre Dame. I mentioned it to Lucas earlier. It's my tinfoil hat theory of the draft. And if Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah is available at 20, I don't see a reason to say no to that. Obviously, the need isn't necessarily there right now at linebacker, but that's my Notre Dame bias thought. But if it comes to adding to this offense and immediately helping out Andy Dalton, I think you got to look at the receiver position. We don't really know what's going on with Anthony Miller. Allen Robinson, we gave him a Band-Aid. We gave him an $18 million Spider-Man or SpongeBob Band-Aid, and he will be gone next year along with his fuckboy-ass agent. See you later. And that's the end of the story. So you look at it like this. You have Darnell Mooney, who is a great receiver, but he's not a number one receiver in this league. I feel that there are quite a few Darnell Mooney-type receivers in this draft, guys like Kadarius Toney that could be available at 20, guys like Rondale Moore that could be available at 20 that could come in and be instant impact players.
A-plus biceps.
Yes, long dong biceps, almost up there with Dr. Bicep Thomas Jones. But for some reason or another, I would rather see them grab one of these like possession receivers, but the good ones won't be there the way we want them to be. There's an opportunity that I could see, very tinfoil hat, like that Jalen Waddle of anybody could slip to 20. Probably not going to happen. So we're like Joe and Duke said, we're probably looking at offensive tackle and receivers, maybe 4 through 6 at that spot.
Here's my thing. And this is just me being the fucking guy. Like, I don't know as much about the NFL draft candidates. I don't dive into their tape like you guys do. But just, like, looking at the history and shit like that, that's always going to be my point of view.
Yeah.
The last 2 years were two of the best wide receiver classes back-to-back, correct?
Exactly.
Okay. Is this one better than those?
No.
Okay, see, that's what I'm saying. Like, as much as the Sammy Watkinses of the world happen and stuff like that, yeah, and Kevin White and Amari Cooper's, like, last year, a wide receiver didn't go till 12, and all I heard about was the fucking receivers all
year. Well, that's what I'm saying, though. No, you could have some quality. Like, with the way that we saw the trades work out for this week, quarterbacks are, like you said, could see five go off in the top 10 or top 15. You have to factor in guys like Penei Sewell. Kyle Pitts will be off the board before 20.
100%, yeah.
Trey Lance, no matter which way you cut the pie, is going to be off the field or off the board before 20. If we get lucky, Rashawn Slater could be there, and I'm going to drop another name that I really like out of Northwestern, is Greg Newsome. Very underrated cornerback prospect, locked up all the best receivers in the Big Ten, gave Justin Fields the worst game of his season by far. They had to literally just run the ball because they couldn't pass it anymore.
I think what we hear about is best player available a lot through Ryan Pace and the NFL draft process and all that stuff. Every press conference we hear BPA, best player available. And I think we're going to have someone very good slip, whether it's an offensive tackle, whether it is a quarterback, whether it's a wide receiver. I think we're going to have to go with one of those three options for sure, and taking quarterback off the board. I could see one of these top three receivers slipping, you know, because and they come in bunches as well. You know, if one quarterback goes, you'll see two drop right by it. Or if one wide receiver goes, then you'll start seeing them come in bunches because they start coming off the board and these top guys that you have in these pools start coming off. But I feel like someone is going to slip in this draft, and I just want to know who it is going to be.
Yeah, and back to wide receiver, I'd be totally fine with a wide receiver additionally taken at 20. If we're sitting there and taking a wide receiver, honestly, I have Rashad Bateman rated higher than both Jalen Waddle and Devonta Smith, and I have no issue with it at all. I think Bateman is arguably the most complete wide receiver in this class after Ja'Marr Chase. He has everything you want. He has the 40 time. He has the hands. He has the route running. He creates unbelievable separation with his route running. He is so good. And he reminds me of a Keenan Wallace or an Allen Robinson. So if we're trying to find that Allen Robinson replacement when Robinson leaves next year after we tagged him this year, he's perfect. I absolutely love Bateman. And I'll probably get hate for having Bateman higher than Waddle and Smith, but I just see him that way, and he is going to be a great starting receiver for many years.
Yeah.
No hate for me. I like it.
That's the thing as well. Like, there's always going to be a team or two that takes that jag off, like a Henry Ruggs. Like, Henry Ruggs had no business where he was going, There were better prospects than him, but there's going to be someone that's like, and I kind of picture the Niners before they traded up in this scenario, but they're like, well, we already have Ayuk and Debo. Like, why don't we get one of these guys that could stretch the field? You know? So it all depends on team needs and shit like that as well. Go ahead, dude.
Kind of the point about Rashad Bateman, you know, I don't think it's crazy at all. He's going to be a good starting receiver in the NFL. His sophomore season, 60 catches, 1,200 yards, 5 touchdowns on a team like Minnesota, who is really isn't anything crazy on offense.
With a former MAC quarterback that PJ Fleck brought with him from Western Michigan, Tanner Morgan.
Yeah.
He was not recruited to Minnesota. It was a MAC quarterback from Western Michigan.
Literally, and Michigan's always just kind of been like that one guy carrying the offense type of offense, and Bateman's definitely been that guy. I think he is really good. I still think putting him over Waddle is a fucking hot take. I got to give you that one, bud. But I really do think Waddle's a good one, and I think if any wide receiver is going to fall in the first round, I think it will be Waddle, just because he doesn't have a ton of tape on him as well. But I think he's shown kind of all the tools to be that type of guy. But who knows? You know, somebody could take a shot on him as well. But Lucas, to kind of answer your question, if a wide receiver is gonna fall, I really think it'll be Waddle.
Yeah, and for me, honestly, it's going to be an unpopular choice, but I have a pick. Like, I just don't think it's going to be Trey Lance. I think Trey Lance will fall. I don't think he's going to go as high as everyone's anticipating. I know that, like Joe said earlier, like, he got to see him up close and personal. I just feel like the showing that he had this year, the lack of film, obviously, because the FCS got completely screwed and wasn't able to play a full season, could come back to haunt him. But I also said this last week on the podcast, where, like, I think Trey Lance can be successful in the NFL, but he has to go to the right scenario. Because going from FCS football, where you're fucking 50-balling everyone every night, to the NFL, on a team that has a high draft pick and not a lot of talent is going to be a very big jump for an FCS guy.
Yeah, and I love the fit for Trey Lance in San Francisco for that exact reason. Trey Lance can sit a year behind Jimmy Garoppolo and get that experience and learn from arguably one of the best coaches in the game in Kyle Shanahan. He is in the most perfect scenario, and he's got an easy offense that's a run-first offense. It's just a great fit. Like you said, I don't disagree with you that he needs to be put into the right system, but I feel like any quarterback after Trevor Lawrence has to. Like, Zach Wilson needs to be put into a system like Mahomes, where he's air raiding it out, and he's got all the time in the world in the pocket to throw the ball deep. And Mac Jones needs to be in a system where he's doing a lot of RPOs and play actions, and he's getting the ball out quick, and he's throwing to wide-open wide receivers. Like, I feel like each of these guys that are after Trevor Lawrence just need to go into the right system. And that's the thing people don't really think about when it comes to drafting quarterback, because they just try and throw quarterbacks early and quick. Like, they say, like, they're just like, all right, Justin Fields, the Falcons. They're just trying to get the quarterbacks off the board quick. And you just got to really think about scheme fits. And I like that you brought that up. That's a very good point, B-Don.
Yeah, there's this guy, Tyler Menting. Sure, some of you guys have come across him. I think his account's Football Unlock.
I always get him in our conversations all the time.
He just yells at me all the time on Twitter and stuff. I think it's great, whatever. He's very strong personality, but that's one of the biggest thing he harps on, and I couldn't agree more. Fit is so important when it comes – I mean, all these guys, they have all the tools. It's just, how are they being developed? Where are they going? Are their weaknesses being minimized and their strengths being maximized? I think that's the biggest key to all of this, especially when it comes to drafting quarterbacks.
Something Matt Nagy doesn't know how to do. So let's just not do quarterback. Can we? Are we all in agreement to not go quarterback first round? Can we all say aye?
Yeah, aye.
I don't know how I feel at this point.
You know we're gonna You know we're gonna fuck this up some way or another. You know that's what's coming.
No doubt about it. I'm just trying to figure out which way the fucking pounding's coming from.
Still rather take a chance though. Like if Lance were to fall to 20, I think we have to take him.
1,000%.
Yeah. And I think Lance, if he gets past Carolina, I think there's a real chance he could fall.
I don't buy the Jones like smoke at all. I think he'll be the one to fall if one of them do fall, but that's just my opinion, so I'm not sure. I have no actual backing to say that and all that, but I just feel like there's way too much smoke for Mac Jones right now, because, you know, as he was playing this year, he kind of went from being like, oh, he'd be a decent second round pick, to like, oh, maybe a late first round, and now he's all of a sudden fucking top 10. Like, that's a crazy way to shoot up the draft board, and we can't say that we saw anything over the top with him, especially in comparison to the other quarterbacks on the board.
Well, Joe brought it up perfectly. Mac Jones was throwing passes to guys that if they were a grenade, the only person that would blow up is the receiver. That's it. There's no one, there's no corners, there's no safeties, there's just grass and the receiver's ass, and that's it.
The fucking great way to put it.
Yeah.
That is a pretty good point. But yeah, I mean, I'm kind of with you guys. You know, it's kind of hard to say that Trey Lance has done anything besides, you know, get hyped up to really show that he should be anything more than what he is. And like, you know, maybe a potential first round pick, but there's just so many unknowns with him still because he doesn't have a ton of game talent on him. But you know, that's the NFL draft, dude. That's one thing I learn every single year that I try to cover this stupid thing is GMs get really fucking excited. They get really hyped up. I almost feel like they all just kind of sit in a circle and do blow together and start like hyping each other up about like every fucking player that they can. They get all fucking fired up and just like draft someone crazy. And that's how you end up with like fucking Al Davis drafting
Sebastian Janikowski in the first round.
Yeah, literally. It's like, dude, could you imagine Al Davis being like, I'm telling you guys, you should see the fucking leg on this big Pollock. Like, it's fucking crazy. You know, and dude, I love Sebastian Janikowski, so I mean, all power to him. But yeah, that's just what I get in the draft every year, man. There's always these high risers. There's always these people that fall. And it's always for like these insane fucking reasons. And that's why it's really kind of hard to gauge anything. You know, we could sit here, you know, like someone said earlier, we're four guys on a microphone trying to make sense of it all, but we never really will be able to.
No, and another thing I don't buy into at all is the Redskins drafting a quarterback. There's just something about Ron Rivera and that defense and, you know, bringing Fitzpatrick in and having this fucking dude that lit it up in that one playoff game. I can't remember his name, but he went off.
Taylor Heinicke.
Yeah, Taylor Heinicke was making decent throws in that game. I don't buy
extended too.
Yeah, he did. I don't buy them taking a quarterback that late. I think that they know that they're still maybe 2 years away from a Super Bowl and they're going to build things the right way because Ron Rivera knows exactly what the fuck he's doing. Get a defense that makes you competitive, that saves your job. Then you build that offensive line. Then you can plug in any jerk off and he'll probably have a better chance to succeed than someone like a top draft pick going to a team like this, the Cleveland Browns back in the day, you know?
Yeah, we'll see what happens with us, though. I mean, we had the same conversation last year going into the draft. Luckily, I, because I'm such a big Notre Dame fan, was right and called out that it was going to be Cole Kmet first. But this year, there are so many options. And as I said before we started the recording, there are several holes, and a lot of holes need to be plugged, whether it's offensive side, defensive side. The one thing that's sure, our guy – Cairo Santos. That's the one staple on this team. He got his bag. He goes out. He does his job. You don't have to ask him any questions.
He's fucking, hopefully his percentage is good because he's going to be kicking a lot of field goals this year.
Oh, you know he'll hear it if he ain't making it.
Oh, God. Please, God. The last thing you need is Duke fired up calling him Carrios.
Dude, I'll call him fucking Carrot Santos. I don't give a shit. Just make your field goals, baby.
Joe?
I wonder what Eddie Pinheiro's up to. Poor guy.
Yeah, that he kind of got the short end of the stick. But you can't stay healthy. That's just kind of part of it, especially if you're a kicker. Like, your life in the NFL is not going to be long as a kicker unless you're fucking sinking kicks for your whole career. You can't be out 2 of the 3 fucking years you've been active, you know? But, Joe, you had something to say, yeah?
Yeah. I wouldn't mind. Like, we were talking about all these early quarterbacks. I really would not mind going offensive tackle, wide receiver, and then going quarterback in the third. And that quarterback could be Davis Mills or Kellen Mond. I don't care. I think both those guys can develop into great quarterbacks. Like, Davis Mills is the exact type of quarterback that people back in the day would go crazy for. He's six. He's big. He's got a strong arm. He's tall. Like, he's literally just everything that everybody loved back in the day at quarterback. And he has that strong arm. Like, that's something you want to develop. And obviously he wasn't like ultra impressive at Stanford, but, and he probably declared a year early. He probably maybe could even been a first round pick if he stayed another year, but we'll take him on the discount. We'll take him in the third round. And Kellen Mond, that dude has shown improvement every single year he's been in college. His completion percentage has gone up every single year and he's looked better every single year. Obviously, if you roll the tape compared to the stat sheet, the tape doesn't line up as well. His tape isn't amazing, but he makes throws. You're like, wow, like, why is this dude not a first round pick with some of these throws? Then he makes another throw and you're like, okay, he should be a 7th round pick. Like, it's just, his tape's kind of all over the place, but that's why you draft Mills or Mond, have them sit behind Dalton for a year or two, and you got a nice little system for a year or two to let them learn.
And talking about throwing against air, everyone was talking about Zach Wilson's throw, which was actually really fucking nice. And, you know, then they matched up and said, why don't you blow up Fields' throw and blah, blah, blah. Kellen Mond had the best fucking air throw I've seen all year in pro days.
I haven't seen it.
Dude, it like touched the ceiling. It like,
oh, yeah, send ceiling. It to me. Yeah. Send it to me. I haven't seen any of his videos of him throwing.
Exactly. No, that's the thing. Because everyone was like dogging him for being off platform. I'm like, you guys ride Mahomes' nuts and guys like Russell Wilson and Kyler Murray for making these off platform throws all the time. He just displays this.
You can't always throw from a clean pocket.
I mean, I'm telling you, out of all the air throws I saw, that was the best one by fucking far. Like, it was a flick of the wrist, didn't put his whole body into it, nothing. He just, it was a cannon. Looked like it shot out of his fucking arm.
I'm getting excited just hearing it.
You'll definitely dig it.
And, like, I don't hate the idea of drafting. The Bears should have been drafting a quarterback every year, whether it was the third round, the second round, the fourth round, the 7th round, UDFA route. And we've covered it extensively, Joe, you know, especially when it comes to Matt Nagy being this quarterback guru. And it's like, if you're such a fucking guru, why were you rocking with Chase Daniel and Nick Foles and all these guys that knew your system? Why didn't you guru a motherfucking quarterback into being decent, like Kyle Shanahan does with Nick Mullins and company and CJ Beathard and these guys? Like, these guys aren't world beaters by any means, but Kyle Shanahan has gotten the best out of him. And that's why I said earlier, he's earned that right to trade up. And if he says, I want Mac Jones third overall, no one's going to fucking question it. Like, someone will probably come out with a take and be like, oh, this is a terrible pick, blah, blah, blah. But Mac Jones will probably play well if he goes to Kyle Shanahan. So it really just depends on how he feels. You know what I mean? And that all roads lead to Nagy being a jagoff. It's just unbelievable how it does. It always comes full circle.
I will say, of all the long toss videos, there was a Mitch one floating out there too, and it was in an actual game.
With actual pressure.
Yeah, yes. It was that throw to Mooney against the Packers, which was a beautiful fucking play all around.
Oh, don't worry. You got just as many fucking people saying that, you know, he should have been able to throw it in stride for a touchdown instead of being like, oh, wow, that was impressive. So
yeah. But for those of you that don't know, we watch film. So just want to
we watch plenty of film.
A lot of film. I don't know. I guess I just get confused when Chicago Bears fans get picky about quarterbacks.
It's insane.
We've never had one. Yeah, we've never
had
one.
How can we have so many quarterback experts, even though we've never seen a quarterback play live and up close for 16 games? Because I don't give a fuck who you are unless you lived in Kansas City and you got to see every one of their games because they were on TV for you every single – no one sees 16 games of every single quarterback.
I have an idea. Yeah. Everyone name your top three Bears quarterbacks of all time.
God.
No, thanks.
I'll go first since it's my idea. But three, Jim Miller. Okay? And anytime you're starting your list with Jim Miller, it's not great.
Oh, my God.
Okay? Ready? Two, I mean, he was playing with plumbers and insurance agents and car salesmen and custodians, but Sid Luckman. And one, Duke's guy, the chicken coop man, Cuddy. And I mean, if Mitch would have played here longer, he would have had better stats and probably more success. But just, you know, the extra years and whatever, you know, diving into the end zone, just getting a straight CTE shot to the dome, Cuddy was it. He was our best quarterback. And again, starting with Jim Miller and ending with Jay Cutler. Not great.
That's a fucked up question you asked, dude. That's not right. Let's either of you want to answer instead. This? Yeah. Can we talk about kick returners or middle linebackers or fucking something else, please?
What about fullbacks? You know I love me some fullbacks.
Oh, Suey's on top of that list.
I gotta say personally, I'd probably take fucking Eric Kramer over Jim Miller, but
I'd for sure take Eric Kramer over Jim Miller.
NFL blitz guy.
And realistically, I'm not even shitting you. If Kyle Orton would have stayed in Chicago, he might get number three. That's how bad our list is.
You know what the weird thing was with Kyle Orton, though? He played on the Broncos and would throw for like 480 a game. And you'd look at his like box scores from the Bears and it would be like 9-16 for 79 yards. And you're
just like, that's the Josh McDaniels difference.
Yeah, you're just like, what the fuck are we doing here?
I mean, Josh McDaniels made fucking Tim Tebow work, for Christ's sakes.
Josh McDaniels also fucking gave everything away for Tim Tebow as well. So I feel like it's a double-edged sword there.
I was going to say, Kyle Orton fucks too. You always just see pictures of him just absolutely like cockeyed with like three smokes.
He had the dirtiest neck beard on the planet.
Yeah. That's a real lunch pail meat on the table guy is Kyle Orton.
Yeah. I mean, and even as someone that didn't like Jay Cutler, it's got to be – I've never seen Sid Luckman play. So in my lifetime, it's got to be Mitch and Jay for number one and two. And you kind of pick your poison. You want a guy that fucking is too conservative and, you know, has kind of been in a system that didn't allow him to stretch the field a lot at all. And even when it did, he kind of chose not to. Or do you want a guy that just fucking flung the ball into triple coverage? You know, it's you pick your poison. Both weren't the greatest option, even though I love Mitch. But it's obviously them in, at one and two. And I think Kramer definitely takes three.
The McCaskies are just fucking trolls. Like, it's the same narrative and the same conversation. I can just, like, picture it now. Like, we're getting ready for our annual Monday night game against the Vikings. And we're like, well, what the fuck's going to happen at the quarterback position? Like, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
You feel me? It's the same thing every year. You know, the weather starts to get shitty. You're getting ready for Thanksgiving, whatever. Bears quarterback problem every year.
I mean, I think that realistically at this point, they're asking more about the lunch meat in Ted Phillips's refrigerator than they are about fucking quarterbacks. I'm talking about right now in the draft process. They're like, hey, bro, you stocked up. Do we need to get you some more prosciutto? How about more Tadella? Like, I think that's where they're at. And that's kind of how it's bad, man. It's a really bad question for you to ask us, Bidon.
Not spending any more money until you give me some gabagool, baby. That's Ted Phillips right now, I guarantee.
Yeah, and boycott the team. Don't nobody go to games next year. We'll watch from home next year.
There is some news now. Bears got 17th game. The NFL added a 17th game, and it's in Vegas. I will be there. I will be at that game.
Okay, that's fine. That's fair.
Dude, but I'm actually at the point where I'm refusing to go to a game in Soldier Field.
And you, can you light a blunt with the torch in the corner of the stadium like Marshawn Lynch did, or what?
Did that happen?
Yeah, bro. The night that they burned Al Davis, Marshawn Lynch lit a blunt with like the burning of Al Davis. So he was like smoking Al Davis.
Get the fuck out of here!
I swear to God, it was like on NBC, bro. Like Marshawn Lynch gets away with everything. He's the GOAT.
Beast mode, baby.
All right.
No, well, dude. We should make it like a full fucking. Make it a full Bears on Tap event going out to Vegas for a weekend.
Dude, that stadium looks like sick as hell, bro. I saw a picture of it today because one of my old coaches is out in Vegas, and
it looks like Darth Vader fucking straight up designed it. It's a dope stadium. Yeah. I'm not even gonna lie, it looks awesome. It looks I'm pretty sure there's like an amusement park in there and shit like that.
Yeah, and the fucking Raiders tagged us and with a Jonathan Jacobs post. Like, okay, we
Josh
don't care.
Jacobs, yeah, and Josh I was literally Jacobs, like, yeah. I don't know if you saw my tweet, but I'm like, this game's gonna be 4-0. Bears win.
It's a soccer score.
Yeah. No, but I mean, on that note, I think we're kind of out of topics for the night. Joe, thank you so much for joining us, and go ahead and tell people where to read your stuff and how to follow you.
Oh, you can follow me on Twitter at Joseph Herf NFL. That's HERFF. You can check out my articles with Bear Goggles On via FanSided. Their Twitter at is at Bear Goggles On, just like beer goggles, but Bear. And I write for them pretty often, so you'll see my stuff on there often. You can also see my articles through my Twitter feed. Yeah, thanks, guys, for having me. I had a really great time talking with you guys.
Yeah, it was awesome having you. And, of course, you guys know who we are. We're Bears on Tap. You can give us a follow at that handle or follow On Tap Sportsnet for all of your Chicago sports needs. I'm Lucas Perfetti. You can go ahead and follow me at LucasPerfetti46. And I'm also joined alongside by Beat On 300 Brandon Suarez and that pod guy Duke Coughlin. Type in the code On Tap for Manscaped, 20% off, free shipping, all that good stuff. Also, go ahead and check out our new NFL tab for all of our NFL draft articles dropping daily. We're going through every single pick of the first round and dropping an article for who we think is going to get taken there, a little bit of a prospect outline. So go ahead and check us out. We appreciate you guys, and bear down.
Bear down.
Bear down.
Bear down.